Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Chet. And we already got a little bit ahead. We're up to Yehuda V'Chizkiah B'nei Rebbe Chiya. And these were the famous twins that were the sons of Rebbe Chiya. And Avayasva B'Seudata Kamei Rebbe, they were sitting there, and Rebbe was there, and they were in a Seuda. So they were a bit overwhelmed. I mean, it was one heck of a chosh of a seuda, you know. They didn't say anything. So they were sitting there very quiet. And Rebbe said to the butlers over there, okay, it's time to pour out the wine over these kids. They've got to get a little bit looser, you know. So Agbru Chamra Adardake, let's loosen them up a bit. Let's hear what they have to say. What's going on inside of them? So, sure enough, Kivan di Ivasum, as soon as they got a bit high, oh boy, did they open up. Rebbe changed his mind very quickly. So, Patchu ve'omru, they opened up their mouths and they started to say, oy vavoy, ein ben David ba, ad sheyechlu shnei vatei avot mi Yisrael, that the Mashiach cannot come until these two very important but authoritative families are no longer in authority. And Elohim, the Rosh Golashi beBavel, v'Nasi sheBeEretz Yisrael. Now this, of course, was a direct insult to Rebbe that Mashiach is not going to be able to come until his family is off the charts. And, of course, the Rosh Golashi also comes from the same family. It's both of them. Is from the Pasuk on Yehuda, the Shevet Yehuda. And the Mechokek of Yehuda. So Rebbe wasn't exactly too happy with this, but they brought a pasuk, Shenemar. V'haya l'migdash l'even negef l'tzur mechshol l'shnei batei Yisrael. So when Mashiach comes, he's going to be a migdash. He's going to be a place where people that are looking for holiness, they can hang out, you know, and protect themselves. And it'll trip up like a stone in the way and a stumbling rock for the two houses. Which two houses? The two houses that we just mentioned, people that are authoritative, which refers to the Nasi in Eretz Yisrael, which of course was Rebbe's family, and the Reish Galusa in Bavel. So Rebbe was not exactly happy with that. Omar Len, Banai, Kotsimat, Metilimli, Banai, what are you doing here? You're throwing thorns right into my eyes, right here at my, at my Seuda? So, Omar lo Rebbe Chiya, their father, said to Rebbe, Rebbe, don't be upset with them. It's not their fault. Remember that Yayin is Nitan b'shivim otiyot, v'sod Nitan b'shivim otiyot. So the gematria of wine is 70. Nun is 50. Yud is another 20. And the word sod also adds up to 70. And that means nichnas Yayin. When the wine goes in, the sod comes out. So what can you do? These are things that are shown to them in Hashemayim, and they're simply letting it out. You were the one who gave them the wine. So this is, wow. I mean, actually, what's the pshat bichlal that the Mashiach can only come? I mean, it's an amazing thing. But you see from here that establishment of any kind is ma'akev, the Malchus Mashiach. In other words, to be able to break through the way that you look at things in the past is only by actually moving past it. This is an absolutely amazing pasuk. So this is true even of the Nes, even though Mashiach himself obviously has to come also from the same Malchus Yehuda. We call him David, and this is the Keichav Miyakov and so on. But nonetheless, we have this concept in which there's a, wow, it's a pretty amazing idea. There's also beautiful, I'm trying to find the Gra. I wasn't able to locate it, but to remember the Gra, and let's just give me one second. Let's find a number. Such a lovely room. That's yes, okay. Okay, it's an amazing Gra. Only the Gra could come up with this. And I'm assuming that's why Richie's back online. So Richard's with us again. Unless he just pasted a picture of himself, but it looks like it might be him. Amazing. Of course, he's muted, which is possibly a good thing, but he's here. He's still muted, but we're very happy that you're here, Rich. Anyway, so the Gras says an amazing thing. There's Sod appears in three places. Sod Hashem, Lirei'av, Et Yisharim Sodo, Ki'im Gila Et Sodo, La'avadav Hanevi'im. Right? So what is that? Yirei'av have Sod, Yisharim have Sod, and Nevi'im have Sod. Yud Yud Nun equals Yayin. Those are the only three places where we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares his sod. I was like, wow. Okay. Maybe Barnea could come up with something like that, but, you know, not regular people. All right. So, Amar of Chista, Amar Marufa, V'Amila Amar of Chista, Dorash Mori Barmar. What does it mean when it writes in the Pasuk, very strange thing, V'yishkod Hashem HaLara'ah, V'yavi'eha Aleinu. Wow. Ki tzadik Hashem Elokeinu. What is that supposed to mean in Daniel? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind to us that he brought about the ra'ah, the terrible things, brought it about fast. Because mishum tzadik Hashem v'yishkod Hashem al ra'ah v'yivyel. Is this supposed to make sense? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so kind and charitable to us that therefore he brought these tzoras on it faster and didn't give us a little bit more time? Says the Gemara, this was Mori Bar Mar, if this is his drasha, absolutely. Tzedakah asah HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was makdim galut tzidkiyahu, va'od galut yechanyo kayemet. The truth is, there were 11 years, remember, between the original galus to Bavel of the Charash and the Masger, and then the subsequent galus of Tzidkiyahu. Now, the truth is, those 11 years meant that when the Golos of Tzidkiyahu would come, they would find the leadership that had been taken to Bavel with Yechonyahu still alive and therefore capable of creating the types of schools and Batei Dinim and Torah that would have been lost had they come after the passing of that generation. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who wanted Bavel to be a place of Torah and a place that Klal Yisrael could settle in, brought them earlier to Bavel so that the Gedolei Chachomim, as we'll see in a moment, who went out together with Yechonyahu, were still around. Because take a look at the pasuk, Dichtibei Begalut Yechonyah, V'Hacharash V'Hamasker Elef. So the meaning of V'Hacharash V'Hamasker is understood over here, not Kipshuto, which was the Pashtus is that the Babylonians, they gathered together the greatest of the technical experts, you know, and they brought intel to Bavel with them and so on. So HaKharash V'Masger, these would be people who were craftsmen, and these were people, Masger means gatekeepers, which of course is the cybersecurity. So they brought all of those people with them to Bavel. But that's what the Pashtus means, but the Gemara understands it to mean that these 1,000 people were called the Charash, not because they're craftsmen, but because of the word Charash, meaning turning everybody deaf, mute. So Charash, kiman shepotchin, akol nasu kecharashim. Once they opened a sugya, everybody else just sat there with their mouths hanging open, had nothing to say. So they were turned into deaf mutes. And why are they called Masger? Kivan shesogrim bahalacha. If they close a sugya, either that they complete it or they say they don't know how to explain it, there was no one that could second guess them. How many were there both of the Charash Masger together? Elef. It doesn't mean 1,000 of each, but there were 1,000. So those 1,000 were the Mokar of Terah in Bavel. Ula Omer. There's another reason why it's considered to be a chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Golos Bavel faster, because actually it came only 850 years that were the number of years after this was the Gezerah. It says over there specifically they were in Eretz Yisrael. If you figure out the number of years we were in Eretz Yisrael, and it says in the Pasuk, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu talks about V'noshantim Ba'aretz, that you'll become old in the land. You'll stop being responsive, and so on. So what does it say over there in the Tochacha? Ki tolid banim uvnei banim V'noshantim Ba'aretz. This is actually what we read on the Tisha B'Av. It's not mamish in the Tochacha, but it's the introduction to the words of the klolas in Devarim. So ki tolid banim uvnei banim V'noshantim Ba'aretz. Vishatem vasitem pesot munat kol, etc. So that continues with Hayidoti bachem hayom et hashamayim et haaretz, ki avoto veidun maher. You will quickly be gone from this land. Me'al haaretz asheratem avrim et hayaden shem alarishta, ki hishameti shamedu. You will be completely destroyed. Now that means that if there were 852 years from the time of the Knisa La'aretz, that was the end of Klal Yisrael, and they would have been totally wiped out. And that's the Gematria of V'noshantim, which is 852. So you figure that you had, it says Beferish in the Pasuk, Shlomo HaMelech builds the first Beis HaMikdash, and it says Beferish in the Pasuk, 480 years after Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that Beis HaMikdash, we know, was 410 years, which gives us 890 years. And how many of those years take off the Arba'im Shana B'Midbar, because we were counting it from Yitzias Mitzrayim, which means that we were in Eretz Yisrael 850 years before the Golas Bavel. Now, 850 is 2 years short of the Gematria of V'noshantim, which is 852. So because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cared about us and wanted to make sure we would never get to a stage of Hishameidun, you will be totally wiped out, he brought the Golas before V'noshantim Ba'aretz. So that was only 850 years, and that way there would be hope. Omer of Acha bar Yaakov, well, one thing you see from here, that when it says Maher, you know, you're going to be very quickly thrown out of the land, that was part of the Pasuk, Haidoti Bechem Ayom, Avota Vedun Maher, when God says it's going to happen fast, that means 852. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. It was fast. Which, of course, teaches us that when we have all of these prophecies about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be coming to help us, don't think that means tomorrow. It just means very quickly. So, in terms of geologic time, you know, if you have to wait a million years here, Chas v'Shalom, that's also called quickly. It all depends on your time scale, you know. So, Mehera de Mori Alma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mehera, Estmani Mayav HaKamishim V'Taratin. That's an 852. Okay, so anyway, the next thing we learned in the Mishnah was, why was Adam created alone? So Adam was created Yechidi. The Braita expands on this a bit. Adam Yechidi Nivra, Umipneima, Shalo Yud Siduki Momrim. First of all, we have all of these crazy apikursim, very primitive. So if there would be a lot of different humans that would appear simultaneously on earth, so that would prove that there were many gods, right? So Harbe Rishiyot Bashamayim. So we wanted only one development of humanity. Dover Acher. All we need is for the tzaddikim to say, you know, I don't feel I did anything in my life. It's basically all because I come from the genes that were the tzaddik human, the original primal tzaddik human. So basically, I can sit back, relax, sit on the beach, and I for sure will be a tzaddik anyway because my genes are all tzaddik. And the Rishayim say, well, there's nothing much that we could have done to be any better than we are. After all, we're genetic Rishayim. So, okay, so in which case, both of them are going to stop taking responsibility for their lives and not do teshuva and not do avodas Hashem. So because of that, we wanted to make sure, no, you all come from the same stock and look how differently you develop. It's all based on your choices. Davar acher, all we need is for different families to start believing that there were different sources of humanity. Take a look. Shenivra. We now have a situation where we have one human. And even so, look at all the racism and everybody saying, no, Black lives matter, German lives matter. They're all the same life, you idiot. It's all coming from the same DNA. What are you arguing about? So if even now where we have the same DNA, imagine what would have happened if there were different primal humans. Oh, my gosh, the Neanderthals are up against the Homo sapiens. This is a disaster. You could just imagine what the racism would be like, right? Dover acher, mipnei ha-gazlanim, u-mipnei ha-chamsanim. People will be able to justify stealing things, blackmailing people for things. Because, look, if ma'akshav nivra yachidi goes with the chobzim, people are involved today, even though we all come from the same family, you know, They still are extortionists and robbers. So can you imagine if there were two different families, primal families, and we got into these discussions and the extortionists say, get out of here. This was always ours. And it was actually conquered from our Neanderthal ancestors, from these ridiculous Homo sapiens who are completely inferior, and therefore we want to take it back to, imagine what it would be like if we had those kind of discussions. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah continues with Ulahagid Gedulato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to teach us the incredible Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if a human being creates a method for mass manufacturing, so what does he use? He uses a chotam. He uses a stamper, a mold. So that was the earliest molds, of course, were used to make coins. So the coinage were in these molds. Now, you see that when we make a mint to create coins, every single coins look the same. So Adam tovea kama matveyot bechotam echad, v'kulam domim ze laze. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on the other hand, he's tovea kol adam b'chotomo shel adam harishon, ve'in echad miyam domeh l'chaviro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also uses a mold. So to speak, everything becomes similar to Adam harishon. Now, you would think that they would all be the same. Each one is absolutely unique, and you can identify them in so many ways, you're never going to confuse one with the other. Forget about just fingerprints. Imagine brain prints. Anyway, but now this is a very, very insightful Gemara. Because what the Gemara is saying is that there is a physical methodology by which humans are able to create with the original DNA these completely new formats. Now the question is, how do you know that you have a right to apply the idea of a mold? Of course, a mold is an analog mold. How do you know that there's a concept called an information mold? Where do you get that from? Because this is like a big chiddush to say such a thing. Because it says in the pasuk, "Titapech kechomer chotam v'yetyatzvu kmo levush," that this the people who have a mold chotam, and when they die, it's all wrecked. And nonetheless, it will stand up again, once again, b'tchiyas hameisim, and it's as if as easy as you put on clothing. So in other words, the way that this mold actually is utilizable for creating a particular form of some essential idea is similar to clothing something, but it is based on a mold. So that means you've got all the information, and now you just let it play out, and it puts on a new body, a new expression. So what's the big deal? I mean, anybody could do that once you've got the information done, right? So once you understand it that way, Tchiyat HaMetim is just a regular science fiction story. U'mipnei ma ein partzufeihem domim ze laze. So why is it that it was done this way and everyone should look physically different from everyone else? Well, because that way, lo yira adam dirana'a vishana'a v'yomar shalihi, if somebody would claim that he is someone else, how would you know the difference? So suppose he sees this beautiful house, he walks in and says, I'm home, honey. Okay, so What's the difference between him and anybody else? How are they going to know that this is not his home, honey? Of course, the obvious question is, but then if all women look the same, why would he want this woman over the other woman, right? So what that tells us very clearly is that even though people may look the same, that doesn't mean that they are the same. So there may be plenty of things that are attractive about this woman. It has nothing to do with how she looks. So though yira adam dirana avishana a viyomar shalihi shenemar vayimana mirshaim oram. So if we take away the light, meaning the light of a shining face from the Rishayim, by doing so, Zeroa Rama Tishaver, that will break the people who think they have power in their hands. Tanya, Haya Rebbe Meir Omer. There's three essential ways that people are easily identifiable one from the other. Bekol, Bemareh, Uvedad. They sound different, and people are able to identify them instantly by their voice. They look different, and they are completely different in their minds and consciousness. Why is this the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world? Well, kol umar'eh mishum erva. I mean, if there was no way to know the difference between people and how they sound or how they look, I mean, what would prevent people from climbing into some other guy's wife's bed and pretending to be him? He doesn't look different. He doesn't sound different. So that would be a disaster for Arayot. And bedaat b'pnei gazonim v'chamsanim. If everybody thought in exactly the same way, all I would need to do to figure out where Richie hid the key to his house was to say, where would I hide the key to the house? Because after all, I would be like Richie. And then I'd be able to get into his house. Aha! So that would be a very bad idea for gazonim and chamsanim. Tana Rabbana. Adam was created on Erev Shabbat. Why? Because if he wasn't the last thing in creation, so then the Tzedukim would, of course, say, Shutaf, when it says Tzedukim, it uses that for the Minim, and the which were reference to Christians, or Tapikorsim. Anyway, so always try to get the censor to let us off, you know. So if you use the word Tzedukim, they don't start getting suspicion that you're talking about Christianity. Shutaf hayalo laKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, you know, he was created so that God would have a partner in order to create the world. So in order to avoid that, we don't want him to be there in order to help God. Davar acher, im tazuach ba'atola. If a person starts getting stuffy and he's arrogant, so you could just turn to him and say, you know, from what I recall, mosquitoes came first. So I don't know what's so great about you. Yitush kadamcha b'maasev reshit. Dover acher kadesh yikadesh l'mitzvah miyad. We wanted him to be able to be mekayim the mitzvah of Shabbos kadesh right away. Dover acher kadesh yikadesh l'su'udah miyad. If he's entering into the world's got to be ready in every way to give a human being everything that he needs. Moshel melech basar v'dam shebanah platrin. He builds his beautiful palace. What does he do? First, he finishes the interior decorations, makes everything beautiful. Then he kins su'uda, and he bakes this banquet for everyone. V'achar kach ichdis orchim. Only afterwards does he invite in the guests. Shenemar chokhmot banta beita chatzva amudei shiv'a. Tavcha tivcha mascha yena. So that the chokhmot, the nature of the Chochmah of Hashem, which was the mocker of the binyan of the world, because it's Hashem b'Chochmah, Yosad Oretz, built her house, set out seven pillars, which I'm going to have to stop soon, I'm afraid, but I'm trying my best. And there are seven pillars for the Chochmah, that's the 7 days of Bereshis, prepare the meal, mix the wine, af orcha shulchana, set the table, and then then she sent out the maidens that were working for her as the messengers to invite everybody in on the very top of the skyscrapers of town. So what does this mean? Chochmot banta beita zu midato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu shebara et haolam kulo b'chochma. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with chochma, And the Shiva that are the Amudim, Chatzvah Amudei Shiva, refer to the Shivas Yimei Bereishis, which every day was an expression of the further development of Chochmah. Tavcha, Tivcha, Noscha, Yena, Afarcha, Shulchana. What is that referring to? That refers to the Yamim, the Naharot, V'chol Tzorchei Olam. So all of the preparations, those are the seas and the rivers and everything else that's required for humanity. And then Shalcha, Na'arotea Tikra, this refers to her guests were Adam v'Chava. Al-Gapay Merom Ekeret, why does it mean on the height of the cities, on the skyscrapers? It's a Rabbi Barchana Rami. On the one hand, the Pusik says, Al-Gapay Merom Ekeret, which means that Adam Arishon, Rashi understands this to mean, that Adam Arishon was on top of the city, meaning at the highest possible level. And yet, the other Pusik says, Al-Kisei Merome Keret. I don't understand whether it's the Kisei of the Keret or it's Al-Gapay Merome Keret. How do you understand the contradiction over here? Which one is it? Is it on the top? Or is it on sitting on a chair? So Rashi understands this to mean Batchila, first before Adam was Chayte, so then it's on the top. But on the Sof, it's on the Kisei. Tosis points out there's places where we see clearly that a Kisei is more chashuv because it's more kavua than Al-Gapay. So he understands it to mean betchila, not before he sinned, but before he married Chava, he was only Al-Gapay. After he married Chava, he was mityarshev, and at that point he was Al-Kisei. Mi peti yasir hena chasa. I don't think I can go on, guys. I can't really see anything, and it's
Rabbi Shah's whispering?
It's not talking. I can't see anything. I'm blind. So, it's...
If I read the words out loud, then Rabbi will explain that?
Okay, we can try that.
Before Shalim Larry.
Thanks. Yeah. Okay, so go ahead, read, Barnea.
Yeah. Before Shalim Larry. Eventually, we're going to try this.
Huh?
We're going to try this.
Barnea's got...
Get that? Yeah,
Rabbi.
Okay.
Tanya. Huh? No? Maybe not. Go ahead. You.
No, the
No, you're not doing a good job. No, this is no good. Barney, it's no good. Okay, I'll try to do it. So, mi peti yasurina, chasar lev amralo. So, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who was the one that was peti? Peti means pito. Who was the one that seduced my creation over here, this man that did it? It was a woman. And a chasar lev was a woman who did it. She told him to eat. Where do we see that the relationship with a woman is called chasar lev? So the relationship in which seduction figures in the relationship is called chasar lev. Therefore, it's a reference to Chava. Tanya, Aya Rabbi Meir Omer Adam Arishon, Mikol Olam Kolo Utzpar Ofra. So Adam Arishon was created from material that was from all over the globe. Shenemar, Golmi, Ra'u Einecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes, they saw the golem. Remember, golem, we have the lashon from Maseches Kelim, when something is unfinished, when it's still in the process of being created, it's called a golem. So your eyes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, saw the golem. What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eyes are mishototot b'chol ha'aretz. So that's the reference to the other pasuk. So if golmu ra'u Einecha means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created that golem from all over the earth. Omra Voshaya, Adam Arishon, Mishmei Derab. Adam Arishon, if you want to look at it in a sense of where we could see that Adam Arishon was built from all around the earth. So for sure, his body would come from Bavel, and his brain would come from Eretz Yisrael, and his various organs, his Evarav, that he uses to be creative, that comes from all over the world, because all over the world, they develop different elements of creativity. But the pure gashmias is Bavel. Of course, in the simple sense, Bavel is like very low and very deep. So it looks like Adam Arisha was scooped out from there, you know, but obviously that doesn't follow with the pshat of Eretz Yisrael, that his brain come from Eretz Yisrael. And if you want to know where his rear end comes from, I could tell you that. That's from the lowest of the low. Omer Vacha, me akra da agma. Everybody there is an ass, let me tell you. But again, in the deeper sense of the simple sense, which we're comparing this to the physical structure of akra da agma, was the lowest area, the lowest of the low, that looks like it's been scooped out even further from the area in Bava. Omer Yochanan bar Rabbi Chanina. Look, the day is only 12 hours long. So in that first hour of the day, when Adam Rishon was being created, on that Erev Shabbos, Shah Rishona, Utzbar Ofra, Shnia, Naaseh Golems. First, all of the dust was gathered, so to speak, from all over the globe. And then in the second hour, HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed him into a golem. Shlishit, he was made into detail, to Nimtuchu Evorav, so there was the development of all of his powers and his organs, his limbs. Revi'it, in the fourth hour, Nizrka Bo Neshama, that's when he was brought to life, to start breathing. In the Chamishit, he stood up on his feet. On the Shishit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already asked and brought him all of the animals and told Adam Lirot Mayigralo, what are the names of these things, and he was able to be Kari Shemais. In the seventh hour, after Kriya Shemais, Lo Adam Lo Matza Ezer Kenegdo, so then he was given Chava, and Mizdavgalo Chava. In the eighth hour, Alulu Mita Shnayim, the Ardu Arba'a, so the first sexual intercourse in the creation, that took place in that eighth hour. So two people went up onto a bed for intercourse, and four people came down off of that bed. Because remember, during the period of the whole point of Gan Eden is that there were no physical processes that were going on beneath the actual first cause of will. I want this, or I do what's necessary to make this. So in the same way, we understand that when we do physical things today, we're basically blind to all of the underlying processes that actually happen, you know, so you would need bookfuls of Feynman diagrams in order to figure out what happens between the moment that you turn on the light switch and the light turns on. But that's invisible to us. So we actually say, my flicking the light switch caused the light to go on, which of course is ridiculous. Same thing is true over here. In Gan Eden, my depositing seed with a woman who can make that seed into a baby is turning a light switch. How does that happen? That was all invisible to the user, as it is still today to a great extent. But over there wasn't even an awareness that there is a time process. So that's why Gan Eden is beyond time, beyond processes. So because of that, it was four that came down off of that bed, so to speak, fully formed. And that would be the pashtus. Many understood this to mean that this meant that Cain and Hevel came down off of the bed together with Adam and Chava. But as Tosis points out, doesn't mean that, because Hevel was actually created with a twin, and that was separate. And this would be an extra twin, and this would be Cain and the girl that was on the bed, that came off of the bed together with Cain. It's not Cain the Hevel, and Hevel came afterwards. All right? So that's the four. Then in the eighth hour, in the ninth hour, did she eat nitztava shelol lechol mina ilan? So that's when he got the mitzvah of Hashem, don't eat from the Eitz Hadaat. At the tenth hour, he already ate from the Eitz Hadaat, and he was sarach. And in the 11th hour, he was emet bedin, on that Erev Shabbos. On the 12th hour, it was nitrad v'halach lo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him mortal from that moment on. Omer Rami Bar Chama. The pasuk continues by saying, "Nimshal kabeimot nidmu." So, what does that mean? It means that in chayara asholeted ba'adam elim kenidme lo kabeima. An animal is only able to attack a human if it sees that human as an animal, because the human is an animal, basically. And if it doesn't have a brain that it uses like a human being, and it just does whatever it animalistically has to do, so the animal sees this as being another animal. And that's the closing of the puzzle. Nimshal kabemod nidmu. If a person has been ruled over by an animal, it's only because kabemot, it's because nidmu, it's because they were like behemoths. You remember the old test of Paul Atreides, right? With the gomjobber. So what was the test to see whether he's an animal or he's a human? That was the whole point. An animal will pull the hand and leave the hand in the trap and so on. Omar Rami Bar Chova. Oh, that I said, yeah? Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Yishai Shabikesha Kadosh Baruch Hu Livrot Et Adam. You know, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create Adam. So he created a kat achat shel Malachei Hasharet, and he asked the Malachei Hasharet, what do you think about the idea of Nasa Adam Bitzalmeinu? So the Malachim said to him, well, what is this Adam going to be like? So Kadosh Baruch Hu said to them, well, he's going to be like this. He told them the truth. So they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's crazy. Ma'enosh kitiv kirenu, who needs these things around? Why should you even care about this? Ben Adam kitiv kedenu? Well, you have to think about this piece of garbage. So Hoshit etzpa'ok tanah b'neihem v'sarafan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his pinky between them and blew them up. So he tried another, creating another group of Malach. So he did this with another group. Same thing happened. So then he created a third group of Malachim. So the third group of Malachim said to him, you know, Ribono Shel Olam, didn't do much good to argue with you and tell you the truth for the first two groups. So what the heck? It's your world. Do whatever you think is right. We don't want to get involved. So then what happened? So when the first disasters on the earth happened with the Mabul and with the Anshei HaPalaga and Nimrod HaRoshan. So the Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, weren't they right? So you should listen to them. Lo yafeh omru rishonim lefanecha. Malachim said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said to them, listen, I've got lots of patience. At one point or another, we're going to be getting a usable human. Va'ad zikna anihu, va'ad tziva, ani esbo, I'm ready to be around waiting for them. Ani, it's basically ani asiti, ani esa, v'ani esbo v'amalit. I'm going to continue to have patience and I will save the world so that it finally works. Omer v'yidam mara, v'adam arishon, misof olam v'ad sof ohaya. Shenema alamin ayom ha-shebora aloyim adam ala aretz. So what was Adam? From one side of the heavens all the way to the other. So from east to west, north to south. So he stretched across the entire earth. But once he was chayte, kivan shesarach, iniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yodav alav, umiatol. And he made him smaller. Shenemar ochor v'kenem tzartanim. First, I was, remember, du partsufi, male and female, front and back. And then, vatoshet alai kapecha, you put your hand on me and crushed. And on the other hand, we have Amar Rebbe Elazar. Adam HaRishon was stretched from the earth all the way up to the sky. Shinemar lamina yoma shebara Elohim, Adam ala aretz, ulumitzia shomai. Which means that the Adam goes from the Aretz all the way up to the heavens. Given shesarach niach haKadosh Baruch Hu yado alav umiato shenemar achor v'kedem tzertani v'toshet alay kapecha. So then it's a contradiction, asks the Gemara. Koshu kroya adadi. Did Adam stretch from one side of the earth to the other, or did he stretch from the earth up to the sky? Answers the Gemara, an amazing answer, which we've spoken about, and that is that Idiviege Chodashiro, it's the same shir, which means amazingly, this is such a taina against people who refuse to be mistakel on the Maisa Hashem horizontally. It shows that horizontal awareness is precisely proportionate and vice versa the vertical awareness. People think that they have this great awareness of God, and they can go from the earth to the sky, and they're all the way on the top of the Sulam of Yaakov Avinu. But unless that same consciousness stretches over the earth from one end of the earth to the other, and it is completely developed, sophisticated, and aware of the Chochmah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as it's expressed on the earth, then it's completely limited in what it's capable of actually being aware of, even though the person feels he's at his maximum level of awareness and he's very excited and enlivened. Truth is, he's actually still primitive, vice versa. People who believe that they have a real mindfulness of what's going on the earth and are aware of everything are aware of nothing if they don't have that super consciousness of being able to see also the top of the Sulam Yaakov. That's how we understood it. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful approach. So both of them are the same. Yomer Yidamara Adam Rishon Beloshon Aramis Per. Adam Rishon was able to speak Aramaic. Doesn't mean he only spoke Aramaic. Shenemar V'li Mayakru Re'echa El. Now, spit. Two completely different approaches to what this means, because there's two words here that might be Aramaic. One of them is yakar, in which we find the word yakar in the Aramaic Sfarim, or when we bring in words from Aramaic. And yakar, like we find in Megillat Esther, means kavod. But that's in Aramaic, that it means kavod, because it comes from the word yakir, which is heavy. And heavy is kaved, and kaved is kavod. Now, there's also, of course, another meaning to yakar, which relates to heaviness, which is preciousness. So that could be Hebrew. There's a machlokas, actually, whether we're focusing on the yakar or whether we are focusing on re'echa. And re'echa, instead of meaning your friendship and your love, comes from the word of ra'ayon, which ra'ayon is actually based on the Aramaic. So that's a machlokas, how to be mefarish the Gemara. What are we looking at over here in claiming that Adam Rishon spoke Aramaic? V'hainu d'yomer Rishlokesh, may d'chtiv zeh sefer todot Adam. So melami sher ol HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I mean, where was there a sefer that was given to Adam? It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Adam in a vision the entire history of humanity, which included dor v'dor shav, dor v'chachamav, so that he saw all of those who would work for the experiences and the chidushim of every generation, and the ones who continued each time to try to seek further, you know, what the Star Trek idea is, where no human has ever gone before. So those are the dor shav. And the door of Chachamav, and Kivan Shigia the Dorot Shor Rabbi Akiva, and he saw what happened to Rabbi Akiva. Samach b'Torato v'nitatzev b'mitato, and that's when he said Li Mayakru Re'echa El. So Mayakru would mean how difficult for me to understand the way that you think about things. So that would be both of the ways to approach it. So it could be that it's hard for me to see this. It's, I feel heavy. I feel kaved. And then re'echa would mean, you know, your lovers, your friends. Or the other one, the other approach would mean how difficult it is for me to understand the way that you think about things. Because in seeing what happened with Rabbi Akiva, I'm shattered. So kaved, kvedut would mean a broken heart. V'yom Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Adam Arishan was a mean. Shinemar, Vayikra Hashem Elokim El Adam Vayomelo Ayeka. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Adam, what the heck has happened to your heart? On Natali Becha. So that is usually, if a heart is turned away from God, that is Minut. Now, the Rabbeinu Hananel says that anybody that understands these three pieces about Adam Arishon to mean that the Gemara is suggesting that this is real is crazy, and that what it means is that the Apikursim would say that Adam Arishon was a Min HaYasid. This is in line with all of the things that we've been talking about, hear about the minus and what it is that people might misunderstand about my subracious. However, many of the other Mepharshim explain it to Pshutai, which means that this is the way we explained it in the Rambam. I'm sorry, I'm probably talking too much. I apologize, but it's difficult when you don't have the visual
feedback. Very much appreciated.
Yeah. So what we understood is, remember, when we do teshuva, so we say, and this is the halacha to say, chatati, aviti, pashati lefanecha. We know there's a tremendous difference between a chet and an avon and a pesha, right? So chet is something that is done without intent. An avon is done with intent, but with no desire to turn against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a pesha is to actually turn against HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do things lahachitz. So why do we say three l'shaynais? A person accidentally did something that was a chilul Shabbos, so he's going to call it an ovain and a pesha. He should only refer to it as a chet. So the way that we understood it is that in every accident lies an element of disregard. If it mattered enough to you, it wouldn't have happened by accident. Same idea that we discussed about going into galut and the interrelationship between murders in Gilad, purposeful murders, and the need for additional Ari Miklat because there were more accidents in Gilad. The two are deeply interrelated. If life is not valued, then there's going to be a lot of drivers that are going to cause accidents because they don't care about life. It's like when you drive in the Shtachim, these Arabs that drive, they don't care about life. And because of that, they're always involved in more accidents. It's not that they're trying to commit suicide, but you know, what's life worth? In every accident, there's an element of carelessness that comes from a feeling of rejection at being told what to do, which is pesha. And there's therefore an element of Ovein. These inyanim of Adam Arisha are built in. This is the way I understand. I haven't seen this anywhere, but I believe it's really the pshat. Built in to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would respond to an Adam. How is it possible for you to have done something, no matter what the justification is, and no matter how much you understood it to be what ultimately I desire, if it was all about your absolute only reality is the reality that I present to you, then that means that you're a min, because obviously that is not your only reality, and so on and so forth. And the same thing is true, Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Moshech Bar Latoya. Adam Arisha was trying to, remember, he was born with a brit milah. So Adam Arisha wanted, on some level, to still be an animal. He wanted to start from the beginning. So he would pull up his foreskin. Till the point is, this is what people used to do in the time of the Greeks, the stretching the foreskin, you could sort of get away looking as if you had a foreskin. So you would actually pull up the skin so that it looked like you still had a little bit of real foreskin. So he was doing the same thing. Where do we see this? Because it says, Ve'hima ke'adam avru brit. And avru brit doesn't just mean the brit, the intellectual brit, because it says it's briti hefar, which is a reference to brit milah. So he must have, on some level, even been someone who didn't want to be a nemo. Reb Nachman Amar, he was a kofer be'ikar, because here it says avru brit, and it says halasher azvu et brit Hashem Elokeim. It also means the deep brit in your mind of being together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So not only was it a question of brit milah and wanting to start over again, which was, of course, the whole point of Adam Arishon's eating of the Eitz Hadas, that he should be able to have found his own way back to Gan Eden. We still pay that price, all of us searching for Adam Arishon's way back, and that's the Derech Eitz HaChayim, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew we would be spending our lives searching for perfection. And so it was also on that level of rubris mamish. It's not awesome. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Dan Mashatashiv Abikars. You know, it says in Avot, you have to be aware of how it is that you're supposed to address people who are Abikursi. Omer Rav Yochanan, that doesn't mean you should always address Abikursi. Because the only time you address that person is when they are ovdei kochove. See, they don't really care. And they just basically have made mistakes that you could set them straight about. But if you've got a Jewish apikoros, that guy is an absolute bastard. He's thought it all through, and he thinks he knows everything. And everything you're going to tell him, he already knows the answer to, you understand? And therefore, all you're going to do is you're going to make it worse. So apikoros Yisrael koshikin depokatvei. The more you argue with him, the more convinced he is that he's right. And the more he looks at you as being an idiot. Rabbi Yochanan, you know, what's interesting is that kol makom shepokru aminim teshuvatam betzida. So wherever you find, and these were the early of the Avodah Zarah, which they had a lot to do with in terms of the many gods of the Greeks, which weren't serious gods, or the many gods that they had of the Zoroastrians, which were serious gods to them. So they would bring a raya that there were multiple gods from the Torah itself, and they would argue for this polytheism. From where? From the Psukim. But every pasuk that they bring, if you look closely at the pasuk, it actually has the response, which shows that they're wrong. It's like rebutting their proof from the same pasuk or from the next pasuk. Let me show you what I mean. It says in the Torah, Na'asa Adam Mitzamenu, which is mashma, that there are many gods talking to each other. Well, gods, how about if we get together and we create these humans, right? So that's because it's Lashon Rabbim, us, we. But what does the next pasuk say? Vayivra Elohim et Adam Bitzalmo. What do you mean Bitzalmo? You just said there's a lot of, there should Bitzalmam, Vayivra'u. No. So ultimately, of course, it's a way of speaking, which we'll explain soon why we have this crazy way of speaking. Or for instance, Hava Nerda Vinavalasham Sifatam. It's when it came to Bavel. So God says, let us go down and confuse their tongue. Also, apparently there's many us's, but what does it say? Vayered Hashem birot et ha'ayir v'et ha'migdad. It's the same Lashon Rabbim. So again, Kisham niglu elav ha'elohim. It's niglu to Yaakov Avinu, Lashon Rabbim. The gods appear to him. And then he himself goes right on to say, La'el ha'oneoti be'etzara, to the God, which appeared to me when I was in pain. Okay, so obviously there's only one. Where do you find such a great nation that the gods are close to? Okay, so apparently there's lots. Well, read the next words. Gashem Elokeinu b'chol koreinu elav, to the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we cry out to him. Or mikamcha Yisrael goyechot b'yoretz esher holchu Elohim. Holchu Elohim? The gods went to Jews? Yeah, but look what it said. Livdot lo la'am. Livdot lo is Lashon Yachid. So therefore, it's clear that each one of these is basically itself its own raya against the meaning. And then it says, Ad dikar savan remiv. So here we're talking about ultimately the coming of HaKadosh Baruch Hu back to the world. They set up the thrones. The thrones? What do you mean thrones? I thought there's only one God. Well, read the next of the pasuk. V'atik yomin yativ. And the ancient of time, referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sits Lashon Yachid. Well, I thought you said there were going to be thrones. Okay, so why do we have all of this misleading statements? So, Hanach Lomali, why do we have misleading statements in the Torah? Get a Reb Yochanan. The Yomer Reb Yochanan, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ose Davar, Elim Kei Nimlach Bepamalya Shalmala, Shenemar, Bigzirat Irin Pidgama, Umamar Kadishin Sheilta, so that there's a Gezerah by the ones who are totally aware. What is that? The Holy Ones. Who is that? The Beis Din Shalmala? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu always shows Kaviyachol, us the way that we should act when in a position of authority and where we think we know everything, always speak it over with those who are your subordinates and never act precipitously. Even God doesn't act precipitously. That's why it says all of these Lashonos, but in the end, it clarifies it. Hell, wait a minute, says the Aratenach Kulo. I mean, all the others, yes. That explains it. But what's this last jazz about the chairs? I mean, why are there two chairs? It has nothing to do with teaching another. Why is there an additional chair? So what about this one? Adidikar Savan Rami, Michael Amemar. What are you going to say about that? Well, the answer is the Gemara. That means Echad Lo Ve'Echad David. Remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu shares Kavayoko. He wants a melech on the earth that should share with him the Malchus. And who is that? David Avdo, his servant David, becomes the equivalent of Malchus on the earth. That's what it means. So the Karsayana refers to those two kisaot, one for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and one for David. So says Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi said, my God, Akiva, what's the matter with you? How do you compare what you're going to compare HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kisei to the kisei of a human being? I mean, what a zilzo in the Kvod Shamayim. What it means is that there's two anhagas in the world. One is the anhaga of din, and one is the anhaga of rachamim. And we often talk about this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is omed mi kisei din, v'yoshev ha-kisei rachamim, which is what we try to do for Rosh Hashanah and so on. So that means there is a concept of kasavan. Did Rabbi Akiva accept this, that he was wrong, and change his understanding of what these kisaot were? Kiblamine o lo kiblamine tashma. The Tanya, echad ledin ve'echad letzedakah, did Rabbi Akiva. And this is Rabbi Akiva giving over the words of Rabbi Yossi, right? So obviously, Rabbi Akiva did accept that that's the real meaning of it, not like he said. Omar lo Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah to Rabbi Akiva, after this whole jazz, right? So Rabbi Akiva now explains it the way Rabbi Yossi says to it. So Rabbi Lozer ben Azariah says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva, what are you wasting your time with over here? You don't know nothing about Haggadah. Malacha etzel Haggadah. You're a person that should be concentrating on your own forte. Kalach etzel negoyim v'ohalos. You know, we've got these great mesechtas that they learn in the Daf Yomi over there in Yerushalayim. Negoyim and ohalos, Baruch Hashem, we bezocha to learn together. That's what you should be busy with. That's, you don't know what you're talking about. I'll tell you what it means. It said, dikar savan romav. The chairs, and not both chairs are the same adrega. One of them is a kisei, and one of them is the shrafraf. It's the hadom to the kisei. It's the, forgot what you call it in English. Huh? Footstool. No. So one of them is the footstool. So echad le kisei ve'echad le shrafraf. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a getter of a kisei that's labala from everything. But there's also a sense of a place on the earth, the lower place, where the hanhoga is a different hanhoga, and it's the equivalent of a stool. Omer Rav Nachman, I man de yoda la dure laminim kurev idit. So, if you know how to answer these crazies the way that Rav Idit knows, so then you can give an answer, you know. But otherwise, never argue with a liberal. Ilo lo lahader. And I'll tell you what the story is. There came a particular mean. Amar hu mina l'ravides, k'tiv, ve'el Moshe amar alei el Hashem. I mean, this is a little ridiculous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is that supposed to mean? You should say, alu alai, come up to me. What do you mean, go up to him? If you're talking, you don't use the language of him, right? So, obviously, what this seems to mean is that there are two gods. One God says, go up to that other God, Hashem. Omar Lei. So Ravinus answered him, this is a reference to the Malach Matat. Sheshmo kishem rabo. Ichtiv kishmi bikirbo. This is a reference to the Malach that would contain the shame of Hashem inside of him. And actually the Arizal was makpid not to actually say the name of any malach, so that will be makatzer into the shame of matat. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Haltamer bo kishmi bekirbo." So this means that there's a low-level presence on the earth, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't appear directly to us to be present. It's as if there's a shaliach, who's a malach, who's present. So the Apikoros says to Ravidis, okay, so if that's the case, then we should worship him. Because, I mean, he is obviously there empowered by God himself. So why don't we pray to him? You know, it's a difficult way. Says Rav Idis, it says beferish in the pasuk, Al tamer bo. Don't get mixed up with him. He's a nothing. Al tamer ni bo. Don't flip me for him. So then asked the apikoros, so then if that's the case, if lo yisala pishechem, and it says he's not going to do any good for you, he's not going to be able to forgive your sins, so what do we need him for? So lomali. You're saying he doesn't have any real power. And therefore, there's no, what are we going to pray to him? Oh, forgive us, great Malach Matat. You're Meshuggah. What are you talking to? So what do we need him for? Said Ravidus, it's exactly what I wanted you to understand. Himnusa biyadan. That's exactly what we believe. When he was offered to us, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told, I'm sending a Malach, and he said, Anochi shaleach lefanecha, Malach. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Absolutely not. If you're not coming, we'll just stay out here in the desert. We have no interest in any of these malachim. We didn't even accept him as a shliach. We didn't want him even as a leader to carry a flashlight, so to speak. So afilu beparvanka, remember that lashon of parvanka that we utilized with David, Moshe Rabbeinu uses in the response to Pinchas, who says, Karyana de Igarta ili lahave parvanka. Let the one who reads the letter be the one who carries it out. It's a parvanka. It's just like someone who carries things out. We wouldn't even accept him in that position. And you're absolutely right that he's got no power and he means nothing to us. Wow. The same exact conversation. I'm sorry for going so slow. Finish in another minute. Omer le'ahu mina le'Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, k'tiv v'Hashem himtir al Sodom v'Amora, gofri v'esh me'et Hashem. Does that make sense to you? So God rained down this destruction on Sodom v'Amora from God. From God. I mean, it should say, from Tachas Yada, you know, me'ito mi'boy. But why doesn't it say? He rained it down from himself. So there was a guy there who had a laundromat. And that guy says, you know what, Rabbi Shmuel, you shouldn't bother with these idiots. You let me handle this. I can answer him very well. So, Shafke, don't talk to him. I'll talk to him. I know, Madranale. So he said to the guy, look what it says about Lemech. Vayomer Lemech l'nashav. So what does Lemech say? Oda v'tzila sheman koli. Nishe Lemech. Does that make sense? He calls his wives, the wives of Lemech, when he is Lemech. Nashai mi boile. So what do you see? That's the poetic way to talk. Oh, Nishe Lemech. So the same thing is true over here. And so you see that Mishtoi Krahachi, the Torah will utilize a poetic approach and speak like that. So here too, Achanami, Mishtoi Krahachi. So Rabbi Shmuel was quite amazed that this guy, who's a laundromat owner, how did he know this? He says to him, wow, that's a beautiful pshat. So Minolach, where'd you get that from? So he said, Rabbi Meir once gave a shir, and I was at that shir, and I heard what he said. The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kehavidoresh Rabbi Meir bepirkan. When Rabbi Meir would give these shirim in public, Avidoresh tilta shmaitata, tilta agadata, and tilta matli. He would give a shir that was split into thirds. So a third of it was halacha. Okay, this guy wasn't expected to understand the halacha. A third of it was agadata. Okay, agadata he can understand. And a third of it, Rabbi Meir used to say over as fables, sort of like Aesop's fables. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Actually, shalosh meot mishalot shalim ayula l'Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir had written 300 Aesop fables, which were all built around foxes, which was, of course, the common theme of fables. And they say he used to give over these stories about foxes, right? Now, we don't have anything left of those 300 fables except for three beautiful fables that he gave over, which was adorable. And those are on three psukim. Avot yochlu boser. Vishine banim tikena. So the fathers, they ate the grapes that were unripened. And because of that, the children's teeth were on edge. And another pasuk was, Moz neit tzedek, av neit tzedek. It says in the pasuk that you should have correct balances and correct weights. It was another thing that he spoke about in his mashal. And the other pasuk was, tzadik mitzara nechalatz vayavo rosha tachtav. So Shlomo HaMelech says, a tzadik got out of the tzara, and the Russia came in his place. What was the story? I'll tell you over the story, but I'm really sorry about taking so much time. And we'll finish with that, okay? So the story was like this. And this story Rashi brings actually only part of the story because it doesn't cover all of the psukim. So the Marsha finishes up the entire story. That you should hear the rest of it. Okay, so the story once was like this, that a fox was actually being threatened by a wolf. So he says to this wolf, listen, I have a great idea for you. My idea is, you know what they say? They say that when you go into a Jewish home or a Jewish chutzner on Erev Shabbos and you help them with preparing for Shabbos, so then they'll invite you to the meal for Shabbos. Great food. The wolf goes ahead and he tries to come into the Jewish chutzner and people come out with guns and with sticks and they beat the wolf away. So he goes to the fox and he says, you bum, you got me into trouble. And he tries to attack the fox. So the fox says, no, I'll tell you what happened. What happened was that your father once went in to help the Jews, and there he was cooking the nice steaks for Shabbos, and he couldn't resist, and he ate up some of the steaks, and the people were furious, and they threw him out. And then when you came along, which you're his kid, they said, ah, here comes another one of those wolves, and they try to get rid of you. So the wolf says, you mean because of my father? Because of that, I'm going to suffer? Absolutely, says the fox. That's why it says, Avot yochlu boser v'shinei banim tigena. The fathers, they eat the unripe grapes, which is the food before Shabbos, and the poor children, it's not your fault, the poor children's teeth are set on edge, right? Okay, so that was the first marshal. So then the fox tells the wolf, but I have a great idea for you. Don't get angry and don't try to eat me. I'm going to show you the best food there is. Follow me. So he follows him and he comes to this well, right? And this well has got two balanced buckets so that when you lower one bucket, so when you pull up that bucket, the other bucket goes down and that way you alternate bringing up the water. So he points into the well. This fox points into the well and he says, you see that? That is green cheese. Actually, it was the moon, right? It was a reflection of the moon. And as we all know, the moon is made out of green cheese. So he says, you see the moon? The moon is right there in the green cheese. And you see at the bottom over there, this is what the Marsha, as Rashi doesn't bring this piece. You see at the bottom over there, there's also a delicious piece of meat. And what that piece of meat was that the fox had put in a weight, which was the equal to his own weight, slightly more than his own weight, as a guarantee that he would be able to come up. So what happened was, so he points to the moon and he points to the meat, so to speak, which was actually a stone that he had put in the bottom. He says, look at this delicious food. He jumps in, the fox jumps in, goes all the way to the bottom of the well, and he goes, oh, man, this is great. So the wolf asks him, what are you doing down there in the bottom of the well? He says, oh, this is delicious stuff, man. Cheese, meat. Oh, wow, says the wolf. How do I get down? No problem. Jump into the other bucket. You'll come down. He jumps into the other bucket. He goes all the way to the bottom. And then he says, how do I get up? Oh, says the fox, too late, buddy. Tzadik mitzara nechalatz v'yavo rashat tachtav. That tzadik, meaning me, I got out of this tzara, and now you're in my place at the bottom, and there you will stay. So that's because Mozne tzedek, avne tzedek. You see, I had put in the correct, exactly the correct weight, just in case you wouldn't be stupid enough to jump in. I took out the stone, dumped the stone, and I went flying up so I can get out. So that would be the mashal to the psukim. Anyway, very sweet. Sorry for the lengthy description, discussion. Look forward to seeing you, Bezrat Hashem. We should be zeicha. A wonderful Shabbos together. Hope we'll be able to meet.